A special opportunity from Heritage Distilling Company. The most awarded craft distillery in North America for the fifth year in a row is growing so fast, we thought the timing is perfect to give you a chance to join our family and invest in our company.
This is not an offer to sell or a solicitation to buy any securities here or in any jurisdiction where such an offer is unlawful. Any private placement of the company's common stock can only be sold to accredited investors under federal law.
The time is now for a very limited time. Log on to heritagedistilling.com/investors.
Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Evinrude and BRP ATVs, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Costa Rica's CrocodileBay.com. It's The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Good morning and welcome to the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710sports.com. And, of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, merchandise, videos, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, John Martinez.
Good morning, Tom Nelson.
How in the heck are you, man?
I've got a little bit of rest from a tremendous amount of fishing this week. It feels good even to get up at 3:30 in the morning to come here. It's got an extra half hour of sleep, so it feels good. But I got a lot of fishing stories to tell.
Oh, boy. I got a few myself.
So do you.
I got a few myself.
Oh,
so,
yes.
And the thing of it is, I mean, we look forward all year to this time of year. And I mean, it ends. I mean, we end up, you and I both end up grinding. I mean, and sure, it happens to everybody. It's like, I got to get out there and go fishing. There's so much to do. So, you know, you get your work stuff done and then you try to get out. But it's kind of one of the good Lord's tender mercies that July and August only come once a year because, man, I tell you what, it's anywhere you point a fishing rod right now, you can find some decent action.
Okay, let me set the table of what went on this week, okay? And I'll use your and my fishing as a rule of thumb, but this is how everybody saw it, you know, who've been out on the water. You're at Kingston a couple of days ago, and I'm at Jeff Head, and so I'm catching fish over there at Jeff Head, and you're really whacking them over there at Kingston. And, you know, I call you, and you go, you got to get over here right now. You've got your two fish. So I should have never left, you know, because I was catching fish where I was at. So I run over to Kingston really fast, and I put my line in. I put in all of 90 seconds worth of fishing to get an 18-pound Chinook. But that's what the fishing looked like, and that's just not about you and I, Tom. That's what the fishing
looks like. And
a lot of fish.
Yeah, no kidding. And so I said just about everywhere you point a rod. I guess that's not entirely true because I got some good friends that are doing some scouting. We got, you know, my old buddy Michael Gray brought his buddy Keith from Montana, and they're at the house right now. So first off, I had to get to bed, and they're just getting, you know, they just got to Washington, they're having some cocktails and stuff, and it's like, guys, I gotta get to bed, and they're sitting on the deck watching the sun go down, and you know, we got Mike McCauley, my buddy, that's looking up north for the San Juans because we want to get these guys a big king. San Juans are tough right now.
Yeah, went from pretty good last weekend, not outrageous because it never gets outrageous this time of year. It's a quality type fishing, but it went from quality down to almost nothing. I looked at the ramp reports for yesterday. Washington Park was one Chinook. The ramp over there at Barnett Bay was one Chinook.
That's tough.
I just looked at the ramps here in Everett, and boy, it was lit up yesterday.
Yeah, there was lots
of Chinook.
Yeah, at Everett, and of course the checks at Kingston as well. According to our WDFW fish managers, we're right about at 55% is the estimate with regard to Area 10. So we're going for well. Yeah, we'll get into that next segment just a little bit. So we got some room right there. But, you talk about this thing in the Central Sound right now, and it's solid. I mean, this bite is solid, and we're seeing lots of guys get into lots of nice fish and some quality fish. I know for a fact there was a 22-pounder taken, you know, over on the Edmonds side last week. I believe that was Thursday. You know, you got that one that was just shy of 20 pounds, went out with Jeff Lalone at Bayside Marine yesterday. You know, and by a little after 8 o'clock in the morning, we had three quality kings between – you know, between 12 and 16 pounds.
Yeah, I saw that photo. Those were three
those
nice
fish. Those are nice
fish. And you know what's real nice about the fishing, Tom? It's not site-specific. Kingston is good. The Oil Docks is good. Not every single day, but it's been having some really solid days. Wasn't good yesterday, but the 2 days before that, it was just smoking hot.
Yeah.
And then it's been good down by the trees, halfway down to Shilshul from the Oil Docks. And Jeff Head, the bar there on the south side, has been really good.
Yeah.
Now we're fishing these really big ebb tides this week, and maybe we can talk about this later in the show, because there's a way to fish these tides.
There is.
And you and I were comparing some of our own notes. You don't go out there and just start trolling up a storm. There's a way to fish these big tides.
It is, because, you know, a lot of guys don't experience these big current velocities in the Central Sound, but it moves the bait. It moves you, and sometimes you got to move to counteract that. We're going to talk to you about that a little bit in the tech line coming up a little bit later. You know, Mason Toback has been doing really, really well out on Lake Washington. Of course, he's got that place to himself, but the bass bite in the lake is tremendous. Now you got Seafair in the rearview window. You got boat traffic's kind of decreasing, kind of in the dog days of summer, and Madden Toback's definitely taking advantage of that. Robbo's going to jump in from Craig. He's got like four groups left. And then he's going to be done for the summer.
And he breaks out the rifle.
Oh yeah, exactly. He cannot. I think he's breaking out the bow.
Oh, he's going to do a little bow hunt
before the rifle. No question about that. Today is the Gig Harbor PSA Derby, and our buddy John Kaiser is going to jump in and talk to us about that, and also talk to us about Westport. The coho have hit the coast to the point where guys have just absolutely roped them. Ilwaco closes tomorrow at dusk.
Boy, what a surprise that is, Tom. That took my breath away.
Dude, I couldn't believe
Nia
it.
Nia Bay also.
Nia Bay too. And I mean, you're looking at quotas that, you know, we read last week during the Northwest Outdoor Report that we had, you know, we thought we were going to go to the end in Ilwaco, but I tell you what, the river fishing inside Buoy 10 right now, and we kind of saw this one coming a little bit with the decreased forecasts and some of the critters that we didn't see both in Sitka and Englefield Bay in June. But if you run into a batch of fish at Buoy 10, you're going to do fine. But that's the key right there. It's really hit and miss at Buoy 10 right now for Chinook. And so all those guys that were working hard in the river said, heck with it, I'm going out in the ocean. And they had some good conditions in a matter of a week.
Filled up the quota.
Boom. Yeah, I mean, it was.
What do you think it's going to take to move those fish into the river?
Yeah, that's just it. It's you're going to see these holdover set of tides, and Lance Fisher is actually going to join us top of the 8 o'clock hour, middle 8 o'clock hour, and talk to us about this a little bit. But the lower tide sets, and so right now this tide series is about at its peak, and I'll check on that. But as the you don't get the in the minus tides, you don't get these big spring tides. They become more neap. You'll see an influx of these fish. Also, today we actually have a genuine raindrop is going to hit us today, and then that helps too. Anytime you got a weather system moving through and the barometric pressure dumps down and comes back up, like we're going to see today, probably see a couple thunder showers this afternoon. That's going to help too. That's going to move some fish. It may move some fish. It may move some fish in the Central Sound too. So we'll see. You know, anytime you get a change in weather, it definitely shuffles the deck.
Yeah, and here's what I think is going to happen. Depending on how much rain we get, it doesn't look like it's going to be a real gully washer, using an old phrase, of any sort. But you know what it might do? It might suppress the bite for a couple days, and everybody's going to think the fish took a run to the rivers, and it's going to just snap back on, because this thing's got legs to it. Yeah.
I've seen that before, and sometimes we get these summertime electrical storms to come through that will shut the bite off. And I'm not a big fan of being out in a big aluminum boat with antennas and rods sticking up when thunderbolts are coming from above.
No,
put it that way.
Not with graphite rods.
Yeah, that's not a real good recipe for success, dude. I swear they'd find little bits of white paint. I mean, you know, you're sitting on 100 gallons of freaking gas right there. Electrical storms and me don't necessarily mix. Light up that text toy. You got any questions for us? 710-710 powered by Everroot Outboards. 866-979-3776, locally to 642-1-3776. That's a reverse shine hotline brought to you by Wildcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. And actually, we'll be coming to you live and on location from next weekend from Astoria. We're heading down there this week, and our buddy Jason Brooks, who had a really good trip up the Nootka, he's jumping in with us, and Bruce Larson of Wildcraft. Now we're going to be doing the show from probably from the Riverwalk somewhere in Astoria next week. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a challenging fishery this year, but it's always fun to get to Astoria.
You never know. Your timing might be just right for those fish to move in the river. So, that's just fishing.
Well, and here's the other thing. With Astoria, you and I have been dragging downrigger balls around, all spring and summer. The cool thing about buoy 10 is
30 feet.
And sinkers.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, every now and then you get a really tremendous strike on a downrigger wire. It will not even come close to the strikes you see down in Astoria. And you're going to get a big king down there, and not to discredit these hatchery fish, because some of them are pretty good size. But I tell you what, you get a ocean king that comes in and experiences high 60 degree temperatures in the river. And, man, you are off to the races. Those are a lot of fun to catch.
It'll be a lot of fun. I caught a Chinook this week trolling 4 miles an hour for coho. It's a completely different experience than trolling at 2.5 miles an hour.
No question about it.
Same with down there.
All right, load up that text toy. Give us a call, 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. Where are we at with the Area 10 quota? Where are we at with Area 5? What's going on out and around? Yeah, tune in. We're going to tell you next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the peaks of the Olympic Mountains to your stereo, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MineNorthWest.com. Hey, John, from the 425, what happened to the Lake Roosevelt kokanee fishing for 2018? It was so good in 2017. Actually, that Lake Roosevelt kokanee fishery in the summertime, there's just so much other stuff to do in that neck of the woods. It kind of gets overlooked to some extent, and the temperatures this time of year, that thing will have another resurgence come this fall. So don't give up on that. But there's just so much other stuff to do in Eastern Washington right now that kokanee thing kind of gets put on the back burner. 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. We got Richard from Edmonds on line one. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Do you mind if I ask you what's the Area 10 quota at?
That's why thank you. You're leading us right into our next topic.
In our show notes.
So according to an email I got from David Stormer, who is the new, I'll use the term new Ryan Lothrop, who was managing this fishery last year, we are at 55%. So the quota in Marine Area 10 on Hatchery Chinook is 5,428 fish. Right now, Fram estimates that at least 3 days ago, estimated it at just shy of 3,000 fish. So 55% of quota, Richard. Now, the last 3 days have been very, very good angling. I would be surprised if we're not at like 75%.
Yeah.
But those numbers will come out next week. So I bet we have another weekend. But if you're thinking that this is going to go through August 30th,
that's I was thinking maybe the 21st August, but I don't see it going through the 30th.
I'm hoping we get one more weekend out of this, and it'll take us through the 25th, 26th.
Gotcha.
But here's the thing too. You have a situation this morning, Richard, where you got southerlies. It's blowing, mm-hmm. It's blowing 10 to 20 out there. This is a legit 10 to 20. I looked at Washington Ferry weather this morning.
I never even untied this morning, so.
Yeah, it's breezy. So you're going to get a little effort reduction. I know there was a bunch of guys out last night. I had a couple buddies that were out kind of feeding me some info as well. I got to keep my finger on a pulse. It's getting close. But what a good fishery. I mean, this time last year, it was just getting cranked up to this level. I think it's earlier than last year. Richard, is that what you're seeing out there too?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit earlier. But tell you the truth, it's went from a spoon fishery to an ace high and squid fishery.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I was really getting them on spoons, and then it took me 2 days to figure out that they weren't biting spoons anymore. But ace highs with 39, 40 inches a leader, I'm really, getting them in shallow there in the morning. I don't think I fished out over 100 feet all year. I don't think I've made it past the 100-foot mark. So
nice.
Yeah, I was looking at the ramp reports this morning, Richard, and the ramp reports were about 75 Chinook yesterday. You know, and they probably don't even count half the fish. So there's over 100 fish a day. You know, maybe double of the ramp reports. Let's say 150 fish a day being caught. You know, and that's probably what the model estimate would do. So you can just start multiplying that out, and they'll give you an idea what's going to happen in the next few days.
Right on. Well, I appreciate the info, guys. Yeah. It was good seeing you out there.
Yeah, no kidding, Richard. I appreciate that. And tell you what, it's good seeing you out there, too. But keep in mind that right now, with respect to things that are going on across the state of Washington, the fishery we have in Puget Sound is the best Chinook fishery in the state. And I do not say that lightly 2 weeks into the Buoy 10 season. This is better as far as numbers and catch rates and everything else than anything else going on in the state. So appreciate it while we got it, buddy.
I think it's almost better than spending $4,000 or $5,000 going to Canada or Alaska. It's better just go out in the backyard.
Well, you can make that argument. I hear you, buddy. And you get to sleep in your own bed and do it, right?
Oh boy.
That's why our opportunities around here are worth fighting for, and it's worth being at North of Falcon and going to the killer whale meetings and all this kind of stuff, because you know, if we don't fight for what we have to keep what we have, guess what happens?
Darn.
Yeah.
Darn right, Tom.
Yeah.
That's why we love you, because you do that for us.
All right,
more than anybody I know. You
right.
fight for us so hard.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And good luck to you today. We'll probably see you out there a little later, Richard.
Talk to you later,
Take
Tom.
Take care, man. So, you know, and seriously, you look around. You looked at the checks at Marine Area 10. I know what's going on down at Buoy 10 right now. Hey, are you going to go down there and catch a bigger fish? But, yeah. And some of the guys that are, you know, some of the best sticks, the Brandon Glasses, the Jack Glasses, the Eric Lindy's down there are getting their guys into fish. But they're working long days down at Buoy 10, you know, and working upstream of the Astoria-Megler Bridge. And don't turn your back on what we have right now in Marine Area 10, because it is the best deal going on in the state as far as Chinook fishing goes right now.
Yep. You know, Tom, you know, I'm listening to your arguments for the fishing the two different areas, you know, and tell me how great it is to have to make the choice between Buoy 10 and Puget Sound.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows that we have quality fishing in Washington State, and it's really solid. I'll tell you what, the last two summers in a row now, I'll put Puget Sound up against fishing anywhere else, not against Englefield Bay, of course, because that's a very special place.
It is a special place.
That's out in the middle of nowhere, so that's kind of a completely different situation. But as far as the easy places to drive to and put your boat in the water and fish, I tell you what, Puget Sound is hitting on all cylinders, and my hat's off to the hatchery managers.
Yeah, and that's something else. We're gonna have to get some guys on, you know, and talk about that, because seriously, I mean, everybody likes to throw rocks at WDFW, but you look at the success of the Chinook program, and you made the point before we came on air, John. This is in a season that, you know, remember 2015, 2016, we had no snowpack and it was a drought, okay? And then we had the blob associated because of that big persistent high pressure out in the Pacific. And oceanic productivity went down, and it's goofy, and the runs in Southeast Alaska are kind of upside down and weird this year, and you and I witnessed that firsthand. But yeah, I mean, seriously, you got to hats off to WDFW. So when we see word of a fee increase with WDFW, doggone it, I think this is one that we may just have to pay. Now, the Orca thing, the Orca component to this is really quite interesting. And of course, you know, we had the co-chair of the Southern Killer Whale Recovery Task Force on last week, and you know, could not get her to really say that she supports any type of predation reduction with regard to our pinnipeds. Now we see increasing evidence out of Canada that harbor seals and sea lions or overpopulation are really taking their dent out of our salmon runs. And there's also going to be a presentation today at the WDFW commission meeting with regard to WDFW studies on this, on the harbor seal deal. Harbor seals eat more bait fish than they do salmon, okay, because there's more bait fish around. But a lot of the salmon that the harbor seals eat are smolts. They're young smolts. They're not very big. And that's knocking the legs out of some of our enhancement projects.
And you know, Tom, they don't, the harbor seals don't differentiate between wild fish and hatchery fish.
No, they do not.
And that's actually the thing that's not being discussed with this orca issue, because all these issues are intertwined. So, you know, we can't be... Just because there's an orca issue, you know, we still have an issue, you know, the Puget Sound wild Chinook are still a listed species.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, there's not like an abundance of them to be eaten by anything,
so
whether it's orcas or it's harbor seals.
So here's the litmus test for the recommendations to come out of Governor Inslee's Southern Killer Whale Recovery Task Force. Here it is right here in a nutshell. This is a multifaceted problem. If they don't address each one of the issues, and that's, you know, we're talking with prey availability, and one of the issues being predation reduction, then this thing is a joke, because you have to look at the situation we're in with the orcas. We're in a critical phase right now. You know, they're not having successful calving. They're not reproducing as they should because their food's in a pinch. Predation reduction is what you can do to save fish that are alive right now. Okay, seriously, you can trap these things, relocate them, harass them, stop them from using our harbors and docks and piers and wharves and aids to navigation, all that kind of stuff. You can do that now, and it'll have an immediate effect, and it'll have. Given the fact they eat six times more than the combined harvest of recreational, tribal, commercial fisheries combined, and they eat twice what the southern killer whales eat right there. It's a multifaceted problem, takes a multifaceted response. If there's not one thing in that paper that comes out to reduce predation, then the whole thing's a joke.
Okay, I got a question for you, Tom. When you let's say you raise more hatchery fish, but you don't do anything with the pinniped population. Tell me what happens with that population when you raise more salmon in the hatcheries.
You're supporting more of the harbor seals.
The population goes up.
Yeah, it does.
So you haven't solved the orca problem by raising more fish.
If you don't reduce the pinniped population, the pinnipeds are going to eat the killer whales' food. That population of killer whales is going to crash.
It's going to reduce.
Pinnipeds are going to increase. And they're going to keep the salmon populations down. And so you're facing the possible extinction of the southern resident killer whale orcas and a continuing listing at Puget Sound Chinook. Why? This is an overpopulation of this species. On the floor of the Senate, Senator Maria Cantwell came out and supported the Endangered Salmon Predation Prevention Act on the floor of the Senate. That's going to come out, but that only addresses Columbia River. Okay, we need similar legislation here, and we need it now.
Yeah.
So that's your litmus
test. Not the Band-Aid approach.
Not the Band-Aid approach. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying open season on these things, but I'm saying trap.
No, we need a balanced approach.
Trap, relocate, and stop them from using haul-out areas in Puget Sound that are unnatural. I think that's a completely legitimate ask. All right, let's pop out of here. Let's change gears a little bit. The water temperatures in Lake Washington right now have the small and largemouth bass just snapping their heads off. Madden Toback, our Outdoor Line young gun, joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the Pacific Ocean coast to your ears, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's John Martinez. I'm Tom Nelson, and on the phone, Madden Toback. Some of you guys may remember when we first started the Outdoor Line back in 2009. It was myself, Rob Ensley, and of course, Madden's dad, Robbie Toback, and now... I guess you guys went out and kind of tortured the bass a little bit on Lake Washington. What's going on in the big lake out the back door there, Madden?
Yeah, it was a good day. So, you know, I kind of touched on it last time. We were out fishing deep. All the smallmouths are pretty much moved out deep. We got out there really, really early in the morning, caught a couple topwater fish. That was a good time.
So is that frog? Are you frogging them, or what's going on there?
Well, we were topwater fishing for the smallmouth,
gotcha.
So I was using a walking bait.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then as the day progressed, we kind of moved out deep. We did some drop shotting. My dad caught a really nice one drop shotting. We threw some football head jigs, and yeah, just kind of went with the flow.
So what, by deep water, what are you talking about, 30 feet deep?
I would say most of our fish came in the range of probably 17 to 25 feet, but I mean, you could easily catch fish as deep as, you know, 35 feet this time of year. It's just most of the spots we ran were in the 18 to 25 foot range.
I think Tom could figure out how to get a downrigger in there and catch those smallmouth, but I think possibly you're better at it, Madden.
Don't laugh, because Robbie was out there one time doing a thing called strolling for bass and with his downriggers in wintertime. And ended up catching them, just going really, really slow over some deep structure. So one of the baits that you've been using is that Berkeley Havoc Pit Boss. Is that now? Does that lend itself to drop shotting, or what? How do you fish that Pit Boss rig?
Yeah, so you know, that's become one of my favorite baits just because it's so versatile. So they have a small size, and they have the regular size, and they even have like a Magnum. It's like a really big size. So I'll use that small size drop shotting for smallmouth. I'll throw it on the back of a jig when I'm fishing for largemouth if I have a smaller presentation. But then I'll use the normal size. I'll throw it on a football head out deep for smallmouth, and then I'll have another one sitting on the deck of my boat rigged up to go flip shallow water for largemouth. So it's just a super versatile bait. It's a great craw imitation. It's just a little creature bait. Great. Yeah, it's just all around really versatile, good lure.
So when these bass are picking it up, Madden, are you looking for the watching the line drop? What's your indication that they're picking it up? Because I imagine they're picking it up on the drop.
Yeah, most of the drop shot fish is you'll cast out, you'll let it sink down, and then you'll pick up your line. And I would say the majority of the fish, if it's a more decent fish, you'll just pick up your line, pick up the slack, and he'll be on there. But if not, you know, you're slowly working it back to the boat. And usually what it is, it's just a tick. It feels like someone flicked your fishing pole, and then boom, just that tick. And
so then you have to come back hard on him as soon as you feel just in that slight tick. You just have to reel real hard down on the fish and strike him real hard.
Yeah. Then it's a real hard hook set. Make sure you... Yeah, absolutely. So and the same goes for a deep water football head too. You'll just be dragging it along the bottom, or you know, depending on the type of presentation you have on the football head itself. You know, sometimes giving it a little hop off the bottom. It's usually the same thing. It's just a tick.
We're talking with Bass Young Gun Robbie Tobeck's son, Madden Tobeck, and Madden, what kind of rod and reel are you using for this combination? Because if you Any kind of jig and vertical presentation, that's kind of a short, stiff rod and level wind reel and braid. Is that kind of how you're rigging up for this fishery?
Yeah. Me personally, I like a little bit, when I'm throwing a football head out deep, I like a little bit longer rod just so it loads up a little more and I can swing it out there. I use a Daiwa Tatula 7.6 medium heavy because, you know, it loads up real good when I want to throw it. And then, you know, I can chuck it a long, long ways. And then, you know, that rod being super sensitive, I can feel bites. And then I'll rig it up with 40-pound braid just because it's got that thin diameter, yeah. But it's still braid. You have no stretch.
No stretch.
Fish eats it at the end of my cast. Yeah.
So how big are these football heads that you're throwing that you can really chuck it out there?
If it's dead calm, I'm talking no wind, I'll throw a 3/8 ounce.
Oh, something pretty big, I'll have a half ounce. Oh, gosh. I thought you were going to tell me an eighth or a 16th, so you're throwing a pretty good chunk of lead out there.
Yeah. So mostly just I can get it a far ways, and I know it always has bottom contact. I know it's staying on the bottom.
Oh, that's interesting. So when you're jigging that thing, that's going to the bottom pretty fast. So you have to move that thing right along.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Absolutely.
So Seafair weekend in the rearview window. You got boat traffic, kind of the dog days of summer right now. So you probably got the place to yourself. What are your water temperatures? And if a guy wants to go out top water fishing, do the temperatures right now lend themselves to some true top water stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Top water fishing has been good for me since as soon as the spawn ended, which is, you know, months ago. And temperatures right now, we're running like mid-70s to 80 degrees, kind of in that range. I think when we got off the water, it was closer to 80, but when we started out there in the morning, 75. So, I mean, plenty warm for these fish. And,
that's almost scary for Lake Washington, scary warm. I mean, yeah. those are the surface temps. Down at depth, they're not as bad, but, man, that's warm for Lake Washington. And you know, I mean, that gives me – And part of the concern that has me worried about is obviously our sockeye fishery in Lake Washington and the fact that salmon don't like those warm water temps, but you know those smallies sure do. And so what is the breakdown between smallmouth and largemouth? Do you find the largemouth in different places? Do you have to go target them, or do you just find them incidentally with the smallmouth?
It's a very rare occasion, maybe a little more towards the fall where you could catch them in a spot mixed together, but it's a pretty rare occasion on Lake Washington. Your largemouth this time of year, you know, you'll catch some up real shallow that are still, you know, just residential fish that'll stay up under docks, around docks and everything. You can catch a lot of fish up shallow like that, but this time of year, you know, you get some of the largemouth will move out and they'll kind of be in the grass. You know, around these big like grass clumps that are growing up on the lake, so you can catch them around there. You can catch some frogfish around lily pads, but it's just you know, it's honestly, they're moving around a lot this time of year. It's just kind of falling on them. It's, you can just stumble across them fishing, you know, in the grass or fishing shallow. And then as far as smallmouth go, they're going to be on the outside edge of those weed clumps. They're going to be, if there's just deep structure in, you know, 25 feet of water, they'll be there. If, you know, if there's rock in 25 feet of water, they'll be there.
Man, so, for the angler that's not experienced at going to Lake Washington or has never been there before, why don't you tell us some of the access points where a guy can get a truck and trailer close to the water and get easy access to where the fish are?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gene Coulon Park at the south end of the lake is a great boat launch. You know, there's plenty of lanes. It's, you know, it'll get busy if you're there on a Saturday at, you know, anywhere from 10 a.m. to, you know, 8 o'clock at night even.
What's the cost to launch there?
What was that?
What's the cost to launch there? Because I've launched there before, and there's a fee to launch. What is it now?
Yeah, it's $10, I believe.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, so that's, I always go to that one. I think that's the cheapest one we found on the lake, actually.
That's a nice ramp, too.
Yeah, it's very nice, and there's plenty of lanes, so you usually don't, I don't think I've ever waited in a line there.
And it's probably only, what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes off the freeway? You just take that exit down there by Renton, and boy, you're just right there in the park.
Yeah, yeah, off the freeway, it's literally probably a minute.
Yes.
Like, it's right off the, yeah.
And, I mean, you're fishing immediately. As soon as you get your boat away from the docks, I mean, you got smallmouth right there within sight of the ramp.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, most of the tournament weigh-ins are there, and, you know, people are dumping good fish right there. So.
They let them all go.
They get planted.
Right, yeah, one would think.
the smallmouth relocation program. All right, well, all right, now so you're headed to Wazoo. When do classes start?
Yeah.
When do classes start?
I believe classes start on the 20th.
And what are you taking up? What are you studying? What do you want to do? What do you want to do when you grow up, Madden Tobeck?
He wants to be like you,
right,
Tom.
Now,
I hope not.
Well, right now I'm planning on studying construction management. So.
There you go. All right. You can get all the workers working while you're out fishing. You know, run it on your cell phones. All right, Matt and Tobeck, good luck, buddy, and keep in touch. And I know you're going to find a lake somewhere over in Pullman that's going to accommodate your bassing lifestyle. And you're going to be the only kid at Wazoo that's going to have to pay for parking for his bass boat too. So you figure that one out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, good luck over there. We'll talk to you soon, dude.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. You take it easy. All right. So here's the deal. You got a great opportunity in Puget Sound right now to catch Chinook and catch Coho at the same time. How do we do this? Going to tell you how. Going to tell you where. Going to tell you next here on the Tech Line presented by BOMAC Tackle here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the rapid rivers of the Pacific Northwest to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Tech Line, presented by BOMAC Tackle here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. John Martinez to my left, Matt Nelson running the board. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning to the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN. So you look at what went on the coast with regard to Coho, John, and down in Ilwaco. Tomorrow's the last day at Ilwaco. They went from 30% of the quota to 67%, and that was 5 days ago. So it's probably in the 80s by now. You look at that rapid increase of Coho at Nia Bay, which is germane to this discussion because they've got to hit Nia Bay before they're coming in the Straits before they end up here. They went from 60% of the quota to 84% on decreasing angler participation. So,
and the catch tolls almost doubled on Coho in the total ocean.
I mean, there's a silver wave heading this way.
I guess.
So we went out and got a couple fish, you know, earlier in the week at Kingston there, and then I just thought, you know, let's just we got a limit of kings, so let's just go out in the middle and just go try. I started marking fish immediately, and I mean, ferry lanes out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yes.
You know, and just on that area 9, area 10 line, and we troll for 10 minutes and we got a boom. I mean, 8-9 pound ocean coho.
Yeah.
If you gave those things an honest to goodness effort,
which means starting at daylight,
there's not a doubt in my mind
you're going to put fish in the boat.
And
I was out there the day before you did that. I got a limit of Chinook at Jeff Head. And it's calm day, and there was this rip line that went north for as far as the eye can see. I just put my boat on autopilot parallel to the rip.
Yeah.
I caught a resident coho. The next fish was a 13-pound wild Chinook that I let go. Now, this is out in 400 feet of water, yeah. Tom, out the same area you were fishing.
Down what, 50, 60 feet of cable?
65 going almost 4 miles an hour. And the next fish was a 12-pound coho. It's taken out line. I'm thinking, why am I fishing? Before I saw what it was, I was thinking, why am I fishing for a Chinook where everybody's at? Why can fish Chinook out here in 400 feet of water? And I got to the boat. I didn't even have the net out, you know, because it was fighting like a Chinook. And I told my buddy Don, I said, hey, I better get the net out. That thing's got a white mouth. That's a coho. That thing's coming in the boat.
Yeah.
And so you experience the same thing the next day.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
There's nobody out there.
There's nobody out there.
When I mean there's nobody out there.
Everybody's still fishing Chinook, and they should be. Yes. I mean, you know, the Chinook fishing is tremendous, but there's nobody in Area 9 right now. Now the cool thing is, due to decreased forecasts and the blob and all the crap we had, Admiralty Inlet, Area 9 was not open for coho. And so now we have a September opportunity again in Admiralty Inlet, which is going to be phenomenal. Now, we'll be selective, okay, hatchery coho only in Marine Area 9. And also remember, if you go into Area 10 and you put a Chinook in your box, you can't put gear down in Marine Area 9. Does that make sense?
That's right. In other words, you can't troll crisscross across the lineway if you're trolling the 9-10 line out there in front of Edmonds.
That's true. That's true. So don't make that mistake. Don't have a Chinook in the box in waters that are closed to Chinook retention. That presents an enforcement challenge, and you don't want to be on that side of the line. No question about
it. Tom, I had some anglers in the store here the last couple of days. They want to go catch coho. They weren't even interested. A lot of people don't fish for Chinook, believe it or not. They love coho fishing, and they wait
Chinook
for this time of year.
Chinook is a lot more technical.
I agree with you 100%. If you want to be on the water early, and if you want to put coho in the boat, just go out there in Marine Area 10 right now, or you can go to 9 too, but you can keep hatchery or wild fish in 10 and just troll along those big rip lines out there in 400 to 900 feet of water out there in the shipping lanes, and you're going to catch fish.
Now, if you want to get it both done at the same time, say you got three guys on your boat, and you can run two downriggers down at depth, I'm running one in the dirt. I'm running one about 20, 25 feet up off the bottom because that's been a successful.
That's been money.
That's been a good deal. Now, first thing in the morning, you can fish suspended. Then, you know, run a cut plug out back behind the boat with a colored sinker. Sure. I mean, seriously, and get that done. Or you can bring one up in the water column. But, you know, target Chinook in some of these areas that are along the shoreline because, again, the book on Chinook is fishing in close association to structure. And we're going to be doing this, you know, all winter long in our winter blackmouth fisheries, and most of the time you're targeting Chinook, you got geared down in the dirt, and that's the deal. You will catch a few coho on the way up and on the way down, but if you run a 6-ounce sinker out back behind your boat with either a whole bait or a cut plug or a strip, you're going to catch coho, and you're going to catch them now.
And if you really want to speed it up, just go out in deep water, and that'll really speed it up. I fished 3 days this week in a row, and I put coho in the boat every day of the week. And the scene was the same every single day. Is after I was done Chinook fishing, I just had my boat in autopilot while I was cleaning up the boat, putting things away, taking some pictures of my boat, and I was catching coho. And what will happen, you know, I've been to Jeff Head quite a bit. What will happen as soon as I got off the north end of the bar, this is a good tip. When the tide's going out this week, if you want to go out and target toho, troll in the same direction the current's going. And that's what I was doing all week when I was done fishing. There was still a lot of flow heading towards the north because the tide was going out. And just get out there and put your rigs down there and troll. Get up to about 3.37, about 3 3/4 miles an hour, and you're going to catch fish. I mean, it's. I don't want to say it's an automatic, but it's not. It's pretty easy.
Well, and on a day like today where you have a southerly, that's increasing, and you're in Puget Sound. Remember that tide, that current, I should say, moves from the south end of the sound up to the north. When you have an ebb tide, that lays the water down a little bit for you. In other words, if you are out and the tide starts flooding and it's blowing southerly, then you got the current moving in opposition to the wind. That's when Puget Sound can stack up a little bit on you. So keep that in mind. It's easier trolling when the wind and the current are going the same direction, that makes life easy on steering a boat.
So what I would do if you're heading out tomorrow or today, either way, probably tomorrow morning, if you want to hit some coho at daylight, just head down to Edmonds and start out there just right out in front of the Edmonds Marina and just start trolling in 400 feet. Just troll out there in the middle along the 9-10 line. And then, you know, if you don't catch any fish, pick up your gear and head to the south a little bit, maybe a couple miles, and you'll see those rips out there in the middle. And just put your gear down and troll right down the middle down there, right down to the 9-10 line. And if you catch some Chinook, don't try to troll back. The tactic right now, because the tides are running so hard, is you want to run back. You don't want to try to buck against the tide. And the same with Chinook in the next couple days, is the tide's running really hard, and don't let the tide dictate where you fish.
And that's what it's doing to a lot of guys right now.
Did you notice that yesterday when you were fishing? I noticed that the day before, Tom.
That's a trap a lot of guys fall into, is you see fish caught in a very specific area, and it was ebbing yesterday morning, and guys will turn around and try to fish back into it. And we did too, just because, you know, they're here. Let's hold into it. Let's see what the deal is, not getting bit. And so we ended up running to the end of that finger that sticks out, you know, on the outside of Apple Tree Cove. And running that whole line.
Trolled in the same direction the tide is going.
Same direction of the current. Boom, boom, done.
You know, that's what I did at Jeff Head this week, because the tide was running so hard. In fact, on probably on Thursday, I was telling my buddy Fabian, I was saying, you know, there's nobody here. What's going on here? Oh, yeah, they're all here. They're just they're to the north of us.
Right.
You could see them down there, because they started trolling up there on the southeast end of the bar there at Jeff Head, and they fell into that trap. You got to remember, you don't want to fall into that trap, because in that particular place, Tom, the fish, just like Kingston, they're in real specific places. And that south edge of the bar for Chinook at Jeff Head is the money spot for catching Chinook. So once you get off course, you're wasting a lot of time out there on the water.
One of the cool things I did see, though, in that area that's, you know, just off that edge of the bar
at Kingston
on the north end of Apple Tree Cove,
right,
was there was a 3/4 mile stretch of bait dimpling the surface, and it looked to me, and I mean, it could have been herring, but it looked to me like anchovies.
It wasn't real small, because I saw a gigantic bait school the other day.
Dude, it was for half a mile, bait, and you couldn't get bit because there was just so much bait, and it was
too much competition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was 40, 50 feet thick.
Wow.
Yeah, and their burrs were working it and everything. I mean, a really healthful sign for Puget Sound to have that amount of bait out there. So that was absolutely wonderful.
You know what that's going to make is, once these coho enter Puget Sound, you know, all that bait is going to hold them in place for a long period of time.
It's
going to make fishing really good.
And that's why it's so good in that northern part of Area 10 right now. There's something going on in Area 11 and 13, though. The 23rd annual Gig Harbor PSA Derby is today. Don't forget to go down there, and then John Kaiser's going to jump in, talk about that. Also, next Saturday, the Yellow House on Dana Passage, Terry Rudnick's fundraiser benefiting the Virginia Mason Pancreatic Cancer Foundation. That's next Saturday. They'll serve you breakfast from 7:30 till noon. It's Fisherman's Breakfast and Raffle. You can go there. It's the Yellow House on Dana Passage. That's 8621 Island View Drive, Northeast. Next, Terry's going to join us on the show next week and talk about this a little bit. For $10, you get breakfast. You get your name and a hat on a raffle. They got rods, reels. They got Mariners tickets. They got gift certificates to Sport Crow Outdoor Emporium, Westport tuna trips, and a whole lot more. That's next Saturday, August 18th, the 7th annual Virginia Mason Pancreatic Cancer Foundation fundraiser. It's the On the Water fundraiser at Terry Rudnick's house. We're going to pop out of here for a quick break. Our old buddy Robbo is going to jump in at 7 o'clock. John Kaiser, the Northwest Outdoor Report, Jet Chevrolet Picks of the Week, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned for a jam-packed hour two here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Play ball.
This season, Heritage Distilling Company is proud to sponsor the Bottom of the Fifth. Because when you reach the bottom of the fifth, we remind you to open a new bottle of award-winning BSB, Brown Sugar Bourbon. Available at retailers everywhere and at the BSB Lounge at the ballpark.
You can't spell baseball without BSB, or basketball, or bobsledding, beef kebabs.
Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of the Bottom of the Fifth and your Seattle Mariners.
Light bulbs, bouillabaisse, belly buttons.